Who's wrong? This Toronto band, Mad Ones. Yeah. Go ahead.
We heard something from What It Takes called Last Summer, and the singer and songwriter in this band also runs the Fortune Records label.
Good label.
Who put out By Divine Rights latest and a few other Canadian acts. Really cool stuff. Before that, we heard music from the Scenic's latest archival release, which is called New Part in Town, 1976, and it covers the year 1976 with a selection of demos and kind of
off-the-floor recordings as well.
Yeah.
Really cool stuff. Very obscure. I mean, not the best sound fidelity, but, you know, for demo reels from, like, the late 1970s, this is pretty much as good as we can expect. But great performances, as we heard with that iteration of Jonathan Richman.
Yeah, before that, we heard a band from Quebec called DVTR, and they just put out this new single called Les Olympiques, which is about the Olympics, and it's quite humorous if you look up what the lyrics mean. Prior to that, we heard some music from Toronto's Bozo. This is a newer band that has two releases out, this being their most recent, which just came out not too long ago, I think in the end of July, called Two.
And that makes them pretty cheeky, because if this is their second release and it's named Two, but spelled T-O-O, question mark.
Yes.
That's clever. You know, Bozo, you're pretty clever.
And we heard the song Just Like Me, and as mentioned, this features a member of the band Motorists, another band that just recently put out an album called Touched by the Stuff that we've played several tracks from already, and perhaps we'll play something from it next week. And then we started off that set with brand new music from Bloodshot Bill's latest, Diary of the Doom.
Is it Diary of the Doom?
It is.
It's Diary of the Doom.
I had to double check it because I spelled it wrong. And it came out yesterday, August 9th. And we heard the track Spotted from this latest release.
And that's a surf and instrumental one, I believe.
It is.
Which has also that kind of swampy sound to it, which I've really been digging that Bloodshot's been doing lately. A really great discography. And it's crazy to think of how many albums he has out so far in his career.
A lot. A lot.
He's put out more records than I probably listened to in my life, so
I don't know if it's that many.
It's probably a lot.
But it is a lot. Anyways, another great stuff. Another great thing.
Another great stuff for sure.
Another great stuff. Another great stuff from the musics of Bloodshot Bills.
Your eloquence always flabbergasts me.
I flabbergasts all the times. Now,
well, speaking of people who know how to use language.
Yes, the correct way. We're going to be playing a selection of tracks from an album that's celebrating a 60th anniversary, originally released in 1964. That would be Another Side of Bob Dylan, which was his second album, I believe. Or maybe it was his third.
Fourth?
Whoa. Anyways, this is quite a significant album in his early discography for quite a few reasons. But we're going to talk about it right now.
Yeah, well, we have to consider what two albums came out before this. Freewheelin' Bob Dylan and The Times They Are Changing. Two epochal statement records that were all about the political and social milieu of America at the time. And certainly there was a lot of personal songwriting invested in that. Like, don't think of Bob Dylan as just a topical songwriter at this point. He still had a lot of stories of himself and self-reflection in those songs. But he primarily was marketed as a topical songwriter, a term that people don't really use anymore, but was in vogue at that period of the 60s, which really meant someone that sung about politics, social issues. And Bob Dylan changed things up with this. Not only did he explore some more, exploratory musical ground with more incorporation of piano and unusual song structures, but this is the first Bob Dylan record where you can really plainly say it's not a protest record in the sense where, yes, I do agree with Tom Wilson's interview with him where Bob Dylan admitted, no, all my songs are protest songs, but these are protest songs in another way where he's protesting the conventions of what he's expected to perform, of who he's expected to be. I mean, the only overtly political song on here, perhaps, you could argue would be Chimes of Freedom and maybe I Shall Be Free number 10, but a lot of these songs are all about a young man trying to find identity, and I think this is where he really came into his own as a poet, with some of the most powerful imagery you can expect to hear from him, from songs like To Ramona, Motorcycle Nightmare, My Back Pages. This is really the album, I think, where Bob Dylan went away from being a songwriter about political issues and being a songwriter where he was breaking true ground, which would lead him into subsequent releases like Bringing It All Back Home, Blonde on Blonde, Highway 61, to name just a couple.
And I think this whole notion of identity and trying to pin down who Bob Dylan is something he's always been in flux about his whole career.
Mm-hmm.
After the Electric Period, he changed completely again, and he's changed several times since then. And he's always just doing different things, challenging what you think of him. He's always something else. And that could be partially due to the fact that he was involved in that political folk songwriting movement in
the
60s.
And the Greenwich Village scene as well, yeah.
And everyone's like, you're the political guy. You got to write the political songs. And then he's like, no, I don't want to be that guy all the time. And then he started exploring other areas. And he's been doing it ever since. And this was one of the early ones where he kind of started to really break free of what people thought he was into something else. And that's why I think this is a really early significant album for Bob Dylan.
I agree. I think it sometimes gets overlooked because it's not seen as being the big political statement record like his previous two were. But with that said, I think it stands up toe-to-toe with the best songs on the previous two, and I think it also may even be better. I think this is his most mature record up to this point in his career, which would only get even better there on end. And I think this is the first Bob Dylan record. In fact, I would argue, if you're giving someone an acoustic Bob Dylan record as their first like foray into his acoustic period, this might be the best one, because I think it might be the most tempered between his more psychological, psychedelic songwriting and also that early topical material. But with that said, a fantastic, very important album in his discography. And to celebrate 60 years, we're going to play a couple tracks from it and one outtake that he recorded during the session, starting off with one of my favorite songs, Spanish Harlem Incident, here on Revolution Rock.
Tipsy gal, the hands of Harlem cannot hold you to its heat. Your temperature is too hot for taming. Your flaming feet are burning up the street. I'm homeless, come and take me to the reach of your rattling drums. Let me know, about my fortune down along my restless palms. Gypsy gal, you got me swallowed. I have fallen far beneath your pearly eyes, so fast and slashing, and your flashing diamond teeth. The night is pitch black, come and make my pale face fit into place, oh please. Let me know, babe, I'm nearly drowning, if it's you my lifeline strays. Wondering all about me ever since I seen you there on the cliffs of your wildcat charms. I'm riding, I know I'm round you, but I don't know where. You have slayed me, you have made me. I got to laugh halfway off my knees. I got to know, babe, surround me so I can know if I am really real. Crimson flames tied through my ears, rolling high in mighty traps, pounced with fire on flaming roads, using ideas as my maps. We'll meet on edges soon, said I, proud neath heated brow. Ah, but I was so much older then, I'm younger than that now. is black and white. Spoke from my skull, I dreamed romantic facts of musketeers, foundationed deep somehow. Ah, but I was so much older then, I'm younger than that now. To teach, fearing not I'd become my enemy in the instant that I preach. My existence led by confusion boats, mutiny from stern to bow. Ah, but I was so much older then, I'm younger than that now. Color of the sun cut flat and covering the crossroads I'm standing at. Or maybe it's the weather or something like that. But Mama, you've been on my mind. Don't mean trouble, please don't put me down. No, get upset, I am not pleading or saying I can't forget you. I do not pace the floor, bowed down and bent, but yet, Mama, you've been on my mind. Even though my eyes are hazy and my thoughts, they might be narrow, where you've been, don't bother me. Oh, bring me down with sorrow. I don't even mind who you'll be waking with tomorrow. Mama, you're just on my mind. Asking you to say words like yes or no, please understand me. I have no place I'm calling you to go. I'm just whispering to myself so I can't pretend that I don't know. Mama, you're on my mind. Up in the morning, baby, look inside your mirror. You know I won't be next to you. You know I won't be near. I'd just be curious to know if you can see yourself as clear as someone who has had you on his mind.
You're listening to Revolution Rock here on CJAM 99.1 FM in the Windsor, Detroit area. And we came back there with three tracks from Bob Dylan in celebration of the 60th anniversary of a pivotal album in his early discography, Another Side of Bob Dylan.
Now, we ended off with a song that was actually not on the record, but was recorded during the sessions of it, a long bootleg song called Mama, You've Been On My Mind. As I said, it was bootlegged for decades, really, up until its official release in 1991 as part of the bootleg series. In fact, the first iteration of it, Volume 1 through 3, that was released in 1991. And in addition to being bootlegged, it was already covered, and it was re-recorded by a number of different artists. But yeah, a great addition, and amazing to think this song that would be covered and would be held up to great acclaim was left off this record.
Yeah. Bob Dylan has recorded so much material, and honestly, when he puts out the bootleg series, sometimes it's quite staggering what was left off.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it was one of those things like they already had what they needed, and they're like, ah, we don't need that anymore. Who knows? But there's so many amazing outtakes in his discography. Another artist that I think lately that has been doing that would be Neil Young. Well, he's been doing it for a while, but he's been putting out his archive series, and the upcoming one has, like, I think, 5 unreleased albums.
Yeah, and it's going out for, like, quite a few decades. Well, I think it does encompass an entire decade, actually, that one.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting. We'll probably highlight that coming up in a future episode. But also from the album proper, from Another Side of Bob Dylan, we heard two songs, My Back Pages and Spanish Harlem Incident. Again, both songs that focused more on a character-driven perspective rather than focusing on a social issue or a particular topic, which I think really pointed the direction of where Bob Dylan's songwriting was going to go from here on in. The next album would be, of course, bringing it all back home, and nothing would be the same again for Mr. Dylan. But there we are, 60 years of that fantastic record, and we're going to go from that tribute to another one, going back to what we had played a little bit earlier, some music from the Chills.
Yeah, in tribute to Martin Phillips, who recently passed at the age of 61, he had ongoing issues with liver disease, and he was battling for quite some time, and it does sound like that is what he has succumbed to, unfortunately, unexpectedly at the end of July. Was it the 26th? I think. We're just playing a selection of songs from his discography with the Chills. He left behind a great body of work, and he was really just a unique... In a world of unique songwriters, he was even more unique than that. And the way that he wrote lyrics and approached his music was quite different. And it's just amazing to hear some of this stuff. So we're going to play another selection of songs, including something from the Kaleidoscope World compilation album. And one of the songs we're going to play in this set is actually a live favorite, a favorite of many fans of the band Love, which is called I Love My Leather Jacket, which a lot of people might not know the context of the song. If, you know, you want to mention that a bit, Adam.
Well, that was a tribute to a former bandmate of his. It was Martin Bull, who died of leukemia very early, at the age of 22. And so I guess the story goes that this leather jacket in the song was actually something that was bequeathed to him from Martin after his passing, so it held a particular resonance for him. So even though the song seems kind of jokey and like throwaway, very tongue-in-cheek, it ends up having a greater resonance with that. And again, as you mentioned, the uniqueness of Martin Phillips as a songwriter was the fact that he could marry these serious themes with kind of whimsical elements as well, yeah. Making a unique perspective in his songs. I think that's the best way to put it. But we're going to start off with the title track from the compilation Kaleidoscope World, and I think also incorporates a lot of his wonder at the world. So we're going to play that and a few more songs from the Chills in the set here on Revolution Rock.